There is a specific kind of weight to a piece of wood that has already lived a full life before it ever reaches your workbench. When you pick up a length of reclaimed timber, maybe a joist from an old barn or a floorboard from a house that stood for a century, you aren't just holding raw material. You are holding history, compressed into tight grain and weathered by decades of shifting seasons. That is what we are looking at today. We are going to take that history and turn it into something functional, something simple, like a sturdy workbench or a low coffee table that feels like it could anchor a room just by sitting there. Building with reclaimed wood is different than buying a bundle of fresh pine from the big box store. It requires a bit more patience, a better eye for detail, and a deep respect for what the wood is trying to tell you. Before we even think about cutting, we have to understand what we are working with. You might see a gray, silvered surface that feels rough like shark skin under your palm. That is oxidation and years of dust. And underneath that layer is often a rich, deep color that modern lumber just cannot replicate. But that beauty comes with a price. Old wood is stable, meaning it has finished all the shrinking and warping it is ever going to do. But it is also unpredictable. It might be brittle in one spot and hard as iron in another. When you run your hand along the surface, you aren't just feeling for smoothness. You are feeling for the ghosts of the past. I am talking about nails, staples, and broken off screws that have been swallowed by the wood over time. I learned the hard way that you cannot trust your eyes when it comes to old metal. Years ago, I was working on a beautiful piece of heart pine I'd pulled out of a demolition site. I was so excited to see the grain that I skipped my usual checks and ran it straight through my planer. About 3 inches in, there was a sound like a gunshot and a shower of sparks that made my heart skip a beat. I had hit a hand-forged square nail buried deep under the surface. Not only did it ruin a set of expensive planer blades, but it sent a jagged shard of metal flying across the shop. It was a stupid mistake born out of impatience. It taught me that the first tool you need for reclaimed wood isn't a saw or a hammer. It is a high-quality metal detector and a dedicated pair of pliers. We don't move forward until we are certain the wood is clean. Because protecting your tools and your eyes is the foundation of everything we do. Once we have scanned every square inch and pulled out anything that doesn't belong, we can start thinking about the dimensions. Reclaimed wood rarely comes in the standard sizes you find at the lumberyard. A 2x4 from 1920 might actually measure 2 inches by 4 inches, which is much thicker than what you find today. This means we have to design our furniture around the wood, rather than forcing the wood to fit a pre-made plan. I like to lay the boards out on the floor first, shifting them around until the grain patterns and the natural character marks, like old bolt holes or knots, are positioned where they can be appreciated without compromising the strength of the piece. As we get ready to start our first cuts, I want you to make sure your workspace is clear and your lighting is good. Working with old timber produces a very fine, very dry dust that stays in the air longer than fresh sawdust. I always make sure I'm wearing a good respirator and that my shop vacuum is hooked up to my saw. It is also a good idea to have a stiff wire brush nearby. We use that to scrub away the loose dirt and grit from the surface before the blade ever touches it. Think of it like grooming the wood. You'll hear a satisfying rasping sound as the old debris falls away, revealing the true texture of the grain. When it comes to cutting, you will notice the difference immediately. The wood might smell like old resin, vanilla, or even campfire, depending on where it came from. As the blade moves through, listen to the pitch of the motor. If it starts to struggle, or the sound gets deeper and more labored, slow down. Old wood is dense, and it can bind on a blade if you try to force it too fast. You want to feel a steady, consistent resistance. If you feel the wood kicking back or vibrating excessively, stop and check your alignment. We are looking for clean, intentional movements. Joining reclaimed wood requires a bit of a different philosophy than working with new materials. Because the surfaces aren't always perfectly flat, standard glue joints might not be enough on their own. I like to use a combination of traditional joinery and heavy-duty fasteners that fit the aesthetic. If we are putting a tabletop together, we might use pocket screws on the underside to pull the boards tight. But we also rely on a good wood glue to create a permanent bond. When you apply the glue, don't be stingy. Old wood is thirsty. It will soak up that moisture quickly. So you want to see a nice, even squeeze out along the seam when you tighten your clamps. That little bead of glue tells you that every fiber is saturated and locked in. As the piece starts to take shape, you will see the transition from a pile of old boards into a structured object. This is the moment where we decide how much of the original character to keep. Some people like to sand everything down until it looks like new wood, but I think that misses the point. I prefer to use a random orbital sander with a medium grit, maybe 80 or 100, just to take off the splinters and the heaviest grime. You want the wood to be soft to the touch, but you still want to see the dips and the dark stains where the old hardware used to be. You'll feel the surface get smoother under your hand, moving from a dry, crusty texture to something that feels almost like burnished leather. When you reach the corners and edges, don't leave them sharp. A sharp edge on reclaimed wood is prone to chipping or splintering. I take a sanding block and gently break the edges, rounding them off just enough so they feel comfortable when you lean against them. It gives the furniture a weathered, lived-in feel that matches the history of the material. You'll hear the rhythmic scuff of the sandpaper, and you'll see the light catching the new curves you've created. The final step is the finish, and this is where the magic really happens. For reclaimed wood, I almost always avoid heavy paints or thick varnishes. They sit on top of the wood and hide the very things we worked so hard to preserve. Instead, I use a natural oil or a wax. When you wipe that first coat of oil onto a dry, sanded board, it is like the wood is coming back to life. The colors deepen instantly, turning from a dull gray to a rich amber or a dark chocolate brown. The smell of the oil fills the room, and the grain pops out with a three-dimensional quality that you just can't get any other way. Use a lint-free cloth and work the oil in using long, steady strokes. You aren't just painting it on. You are massaging it into the wood. You will feel the friction heat up the oil slightly, helping it penetrate deep into the fibers. Once the whole piece is coated, let it sit for a few minutes. Then take a clean cloth and buff away the excess. What you are left with is a piece of furniture that feels solid, honest, and timeless. It doesn't just fill a space in a room, it tells a story. Every time you run your hand over that surface, you'll remember the weight of the boards, the sound of the saw, and the satisfaction of knowing that you saved something beautiful from being forgotten.